find the one who is my whole life. O holy light, let me find the one who is my whole life, my highest good. But while I poured myself out because of the pain of the privation of Jesus, all goodness, he came out from within my interior. In all tenderness, he told me, my daughter, why do you fear? I do not leave you. Rather, it is my supreme will that eclipses me within you. The light of my will is endless, infinite. Its boundaries cannot be found, neither where it begins nor where it ends. On the other hand, my humanity does have its boundaries, its limits, and therefore, since my humanity is smaller than my eternal will, I remain enwrapped and as though eclipsed within it. And while I am with you, I give the field of action to my will. I enjoy its divine operating in your littleness of your soul, and I prepare a new lesson to give you, to make known to you more and more the wonders of my supreme will. Therefore, when you swim in it, be certain that I am with you. Even more, I do what you do together with you. And in order to give its complete field of action, I remain as though hidden in you to enjoy its fruits. Now, my daughter, you must know that true light is not separable. Look, the sun, which is in the atmosphere, also has this prerogative and possesses the unity of light. The light is so compacted together within its sphere as to lose not one atom, and even though it descends down below, filling the whole earth with light, the light never separates. It is so compact within itself, united, not separable, that it never loses anything of its solar light, so much so that, all together, it spreads its rays, dispelling everywhere the darkness from the earth. And altogether it withdraws its light, leaving not even the traces of its atoms. If the light of the sun were divisible, for how long would the sun have been poor in light, having more strength to illuminate all the earth? One could say, divided light, desolate earth. So the sun can sing victory, and it possesses all its strength and its effects, thanks to the unity of its light. And if the earth receives so many admirable and innumerable effects, to the point that the sun can be called the life of the earth, everything comes from the unity of the light it possesses, which after so many centuries has lost not even one atom of light which was entrusted to it by God. And therefore, it is always triumphant, majestic, and fixed, and always stable in its light, in singing the praises of the triumph and the glory of the eternal light of its Creator. Now, my daughter, the sun is the symbol of my eternal will. And if this symbol possesses the unity of light, much more so does my will, which is not a symbol, but the reality of light. While the sun can be called the budding of the inaccessible light of my will, and you have seen its immensity, and how one does not see a globe of light like the sun, but vastness, such that the human eye cannot arrive at seeing where it ends or where it begins. Yet all this endlessness of light is one single act of the eternal will. All this uncreated light is so compacted together as to become inseparable, indivisible, and so, more than sun, it possesses the eternal unity in which the triumph of God and of all our works is founded. Now, this triumph of the unity of the supreme will, the center of its dwelling place, of its throne is the center of the sacrosanct Trinity. From this divine center start its most refulgent rays, which invest the whole celestial fatherland. All saints and angels are invested by the unity of my will. They all receive its innumerable effects, and abducting them all to itself, it makes of them one single unity with the supreme unity of my will. These rays invest the whole creation and form its unity with the soul who lives in my will. Look, the unity of this light of my will, which resides in the center of the three divine persons, is already fixed in you. So, one is the light and the act. So, one is the light and the act. One is the will. Now, while you do your acts in this unity, they are already incorporated in that single act of the center, and the divinity is already with you, doing what you do. The celestial mama, the saints and angels, and the whole creation, all in chorus, repeat your act and feel the effects of the supreme will. Watch, listen to the prodigy, and never before seen, of that single act which fills heaven and earth with the very Trinity, unifying itself with the creature and placing itself as the primary act of the creature. At that moment, I could see the eternal light fixed in me, and I could hear the chorus of the whole of heaven and of all creation in its mute language. But who can say everything and what I comprehended of the unity of the light? What I comprehended of the unity of the light of the supreme will. Jesus added, my daughter, in order for each act to be good and holy, its origin must come from God. And behold, for the soul who lives in my will, in the unity of this light, her adoration, her love, her motion, and everything she may do begin from the divine Trinity. So she receives the origin of her acts from God himself. And here is how her adoration, her love, her motion are the same adoration which the three divine persons have among themselves. The same reciprocal love which reigns among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And her motion is that eternal motion which never ceases and gives motion to all. The unity of this light places everything in common. Whatever God does, the soul does. Whatever the soul does. God by his own virtue, the soul by virtue of the unity of the light that envelops her. Therefore, the prodigy of living in my will is the prodigy of God himself. It is primary prodigy, while all other prodigies, all other works, even good and holy ones, remain eclipsed. They disappear before the acts done in the unity of this light. Imagine the sun. Imagine the sun spreading its rays in the unity of its light, invading all the earth, and then the creatures placing before the blazing light of the sun all the lights that exist in the low world, electric lights, private lights, as many as they would want to put there. Their light would always be meager before the sun, almost as if they did not exist. And no one would use all those lights to give light to their steps in order to walk, to their hands in order to work, to their eyes in order to see. But all would use the sun, and all those lights would remain idle without doing good to anyone. Such are all the other works which are not done in the unity of the light of my will. They are the little lights before the great sun, which one almost does not notice. However, those very lights, which are useless, which make no impression and do no good when the sun is present, once the sun disappears, acquire their little value, do their little good, are light in the darkness of the night, serve the work of man. However, they are never sun, nor can they do great good which the sun can do. Yet the purpose of creation was that all things, having come out from the unity of this light of the supreme fiat, all should have remained in the unity of it. Only the creature did not want to recognize this purpose. He went out of the unity of the light of the sun of my will. And reduced himself to begging for the effects of this light, almost as the earth begs its vegetation and the development of the seeds it hides in its womb from the sun. What sorrow, my daughter, to reduce oneself from king to beggar, and to beg from those which were to be at his service. All afflicted and sorrowful, Jesus kept silent. And I comprehended all the sorrow that pierced him. I could feel his sorrow within me, penetrating deep into the inmost fibers of my soul. But I wanted to cheer Jesus at any cost. So I returned to my usual acts in the unity of his will, knowing that he easily passes from sorrow to joy when my littleness dives into the inaccessible light of his will. And Jesus loved together with me, and love healed his sorrow. Then he resumed his speaking. My daughter, since I am raising you in my will, oh please, do not want ever to give me this sorrow so piercing of going out of the unity of the light of the supreme fiat. Promise me. Swear that you will always be the newborn of my will, and I, my love, be consoled. I promise, I swear, and you must promise me to keep me always in your arms and sunken in your will. You must never leave me if you want me to be always, always the little daughter of your will. For I tremble and I fear myself more so, since the more you speak about the supreme volition, the more I feel that I am no good, and the nothingness of my nothing makes itself felt more. And Jesus, sighing, added, My daughter, feeling your nothingness more does not oppose the living of my will. On the contrary, it is a duty of yours. All of my works are formed over nothing, and this is why the All can do what he wants. If the sun had reason and someone asked it, What good do you do? What are your effects? How much light and heat do you contain? It would answer, I do nothing. I just know that the light given to me by God is invested with the supreme will, and I do whatever it wants. I extend wherever it wants, and I produce the effects it wants. And while I do so much, I remain always nothing, and the divine will does everything in me. The same for all my other works. All their glory is to remain in their nothingness in order to give to the whole field. In order to give the whole field to my will, to let it operate. Only man wanted to do without the will of his creator. He wanted to make his nothingness operate, believing himself to be good at something. And the all, feeling himself placed after the nothing, went out of man, who reduced himself from superior to all to inferior to all. Therefore, let your nothingness be always at the mercy of my will. If you want the unity of its light to operate in you, and call the purpose of creation back to new life.
The top of the second to last page, just want to read that again. It's so great to see what he's given us. This light, her adoration, her love, her motion, and everything she may do begin from the divine Trinity. So she receives the origin of her acts from God himself. And here is how: her adoration, her love, her motion are the same adoration which the three divine persons have among themselves, the same reciprocal love which reigns among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And her motion is that eternal motion which never ceases to give motion to all. The unity of this light places everything in common. Whatever God does, the soul does. And whatever the soul does, God does. God by his own virtue, the soul by the virtue of the unity of the light that envelops her. Therefore, the prodigy of living in my will is the prodigy of God himself. It is primary prodigy, while all other prodigies, all other works, even good holy ones, remain eclipsed. They disappear before the acts done in the unity of this light. Amen. Isn't that power? Isn't that great to have that gift? Just to know that we have that gift, and which would motivate us to just get in deeper and deeper in this divine will. Amen.
And this light makes us singing and praises in the triumph of the glory of the eternal light of the Creator. And the song came into me: this little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine. And I will put that in my vehicle and constantly remind me of the beauty that we can read this chapter about the light, and how important it is to praise and to triumph of the glory of God. Thank you.
Amen. May 31st, 1926. Difference between one who lives in the divine will and one who is resigned and submitted to it. The first one is sun, the second is earth, which lives of the effects of the light. The light of the divine will continues to envelop me, and my little intelligence, while swimming in the immense sea of this light, can just barely take a few drops of light and a few little flames of so many truths, knowledges, and happinesses that this endless sea of eternal will contains. And many times I cannot find the right words in order to put on paper that little bit of light. I say little compared to the much I leave out, because my little and poor intelligence takes as much as it is enough to fill me. The rest I have to leave out. It happens as to a person who dives into the sea. He becomes all wet. Water flows everywhere on him, and maybe even in his bowels. But as he goes out of the sea, how much of all the water of the sea does he carry with himself? Very little. Indeed, almost nothing compared to the water that remains in the sea. And by having been in the sea, can he perhaps say how much water, how many species of fish, and quantities of them there are in the sea? Certainly not, but he will be able to speak of the little that he has seen of the sea. Such a poor little soul. Then, while I was in this light, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and told me, "My daughter, this is the unity of the light of my will, and so that you may love it more and more and be confirmed more in it, I want to make known to you the great difference which exists between one who lives in my will, in the unity of this light, and one who resigns and submits himself to my will. In order to make you comprehend this well, I will give you a simile from the sun, which is there on the horizon. The sun, being in the vault of the heavens, spreads its rays over the surface of the earth. Look, between the earth and the sun, there is a sort of agreement. The sun touches the earth, and the earth receives the light and the touch of the sun. Now, by receiving the touch of the light, submitting to the sun, the earth receives the effects which the light contains. And these effects transmute the face of the earth. They make it turn green again. They make it flower. Plants develop, fruits mature, and many other wonders which can be seen on the face of the earth, always produced by the effects contained in the solar light. But by giving its effects, the sun does not give its light. On the contrary, it jealously preserves its unity, and its effects are not lasting, and therefore one sees the poor earth, now all flowery, now all stripped. It changes almost at every season and undergoes continuous mutation. If the sun gave to the earth effects and light, the earth would change into sun and would have no more need to beg for the effects, because, containing the light within itself, it would become the owner of the source of the effects which the sun contained. Now, such is the soul who resigns and submits to my will. She lives of the effects contained in it. Not possessing the light, she does not possess the source of the effects contained in the sun of the eternal volition, and therefore she looks almost like the earth. Now rich in virtues, now poor, she changes at every circumstance. Even more, if she is not always resigned and submitted to my will, she would be like an earth that does not want to see itself be touched by the light of the sun. In fact, if the earth receives its effects, it is because it lets itself be touched by its light. Otherwise, it would remain squalid, unable to produce a single blade of grass. So remained Adam after sin. He lost the unity of the light, and therefore the source of the good and effects which the sun of my will contained. He could no longer feel the fullness of the divine sun within himself. He could no longer see within himself that unity of light which his creator had fixed on the depths of his soul, and which, communicating his likeness to him, made him his faithful copy. Before sinning, since he possessed the source of the unity of light with his creator, each little act of his was a ray of light, which, invading the whole creation, went to fix itself on the center of his creator, bringing him the love and the return for all that had been made for him in the whole creation. He was the one who harmonized everything and formed the note of accord between heaven and earth. But as soon as he withdrew from my will, his acts no longer invaded heaven and earth like rays, but they shrank, almost like plants and flowers, within the little circle of his field. So, losing the harmony of all creation, he became the clashing note of all creation. Oh, how low he descended, and cried bitterly over the lost unity of light, which, raising him above all created things, made of Adam the little god of the earth. Now, my daughter, from what I have told you, you can comprehend that the living in my will is to possess the source of the unity of the light of my will, with all the fullness of the effects contained in it. So, light, love, adoration arise in each act of the creature, which, constituting itself act for each act, love for each love, like solar light, invades everything, harmonizes everything, centralizes everything within itself. And like a shining ray, it brings to her creator the return for all he has made for all creatures, and the true note of accord between heaven and earth. What a difference between one who possesses the source of the goods which the sun of my will contains, and the one who lives in the effects of it. It is the difference that exists between the sun and the earth. The sun always possesses the fullness of its light and effects. It is always blazing and majestic in the vault of the heavens, nor does it need the earth. While it touches everything, it is untouchable. It does not let itself be touched by anyone, and if anyone dared to even fix on it, it would eclipse him, blind him, knock him down with its light. On the other hand, the earth is in need of everything. It lets itself be touched and stripped, and if it wasn't for the light of the sun and its effects, it would be a gloomy prison full of squalid misery. Therefore, there is no comparison that holds between one who lives in my will and one who submits to it. So before sinning, Adam did possess the unity of light, but he could no longer recover it during his life. It happened to him as to the earth that turns around the sun, not being fixed, and turning around, it opposes the sun and forms the night. Now, in order to render him firm again, so that he might sustain the unity of this light, a repair was needed, and this repairer was supposed to be superior to him. A divine strength was needed in order to straighten him up. Here is the necessity of redemption. My celestial mama also possessed the unity of this light, and this is why, more than sun, she came to give light to all. It was neither nighttime, nor was there even a shadow between her and the Supreme Majesty, but always full daylight. Therefore, in each instant, this unity of the light of my will made the whole of divine life flow within her, which brought her seas of light, of joys, of happinesses, of divine knowledges, seas of beauty, of glory, of love. And she, as though in triumph, brought all of these seas to her creator as her own, to attest to him her love, her adoration, to charm him with her beauty, and the divinity made flow yet more and new beautiful seas. She possessed so much love that, as though naturally, she would love all, adore and make up for all. Her littlest acts done in the unity of this light were superior to the greatest acts and to all the acts of all creatures together. Therefore, the sacrifices, the works, the love of all other creatures can be called little flames before the sun, little drops of water before the sea, compared to the acts of the Sovereign Queen. And this is why, by virtue of the unity of this light of the Supreme Volition, she triumphed over everything and conquered her very creator, making him a prisoner of her maternal womb. Only the unity of this light of my will, which she who ruled over everything possessed, was able to form this prodigy, which had never before occurred, administering to her acts worthy of this divine prisoner. By losing this unity of light, Adam turned himself upside down and formed night, weaknesses, passions for himself and for the generations. By never doing her own will, this excelling virgin remained always straight. I'm sorry. And facing the eternal sun. Therefore, it was always daylight for her, And she made the day of the Son of Justice arise for all generations. If this Virgin Queen had done nothing else but preserve the unity of the light of the divine volition in the depths of her immaculate soul, this would have been enough to give us back the glory of all, the acts of all, and the requital of love of all creation. Through her, by virtue of my will, the divinity felt come back to itself, the joys and the happiness which it had established to receive through creation. Therefore, she can be called the queen, the mother, the foundress, the base, and the mirror of my will, in which all can reflect themselves to receive its life from her. After this, I felt as though soaked with this light, and I comprehended the great prodigy of living in the unity of this light of the supreme volition. And my sweet Jesus, coming back, added, my daughter, Adam, in the state of innocence, and my celestial mama, possessed the unity of light of my will, not by their own virtue, but by a virtue communicated by God. On the other hand, my humanity possessed it by its own virtue, because in it there was not only the unity of the light of the supreme volition, but there was the eternal Word. And since I am inseparable from the Father and the Holy Spirit, the true and perfect bilocation occurred, that while I remained in heaven, I descended into the womb of my mama. And since the Father and the Holy Spirit are inseparable from me, they too descended into it, and at the same time, they remained in the heights of the heaven. Now, while Jesus was saying this, the doubt came to me about whether the three divine persons had suffered, all three of them, or the Word alone. And Jesus resumed his speaking, saying, my daughter, because they are inseparable from me, the Father and the Holy Spirit descended with me, and I remained with them in the heavens. But the task of sanctifying, of suffering, and of redeeming man was taken by me. I, Son of the Father, took on the role of reconciling God with man. Our divinity was untouchable by the sufferings of the slightest pain. It was my humanity that, united with the three divine persons in an inseparable way, placed itself at the mercy of the divinity, suffered unheard of pain, and satisfied in a divine manner. And since my humanity possessed not only the fullness of my will as its own virtue, but the Word Himself, as well as the Father and the Holy Spirit, as a consequence of our inseparability, it surpassed in a more perfect way both innocent Adam and my very mama. In fact, in them it was grace, in me it was nature. They had to draw light, grace, power, beauty from God. In me there was the springing fount of light, beauty, and grace. So the difference between me as nature and my very mama as grace was so great that she remained eclipsed before my humanity. Therefore, my daughter, be attentive. Your Jesus possesses the springing font and is always something to give you, and you have always something to take. As much as I may tell you about my will, I have always something to tell you, and neither the short life of the exile nor the whole eternity will be enough to make known to you the long story of my supreme will and to enumerate for you the great prodigies contained in it.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your many teachings this morning that bring us closer to you in the divine will. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedicta vos omnipotens Deus Pater et Filii Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
Amen. Amen.
Come divine will.
Come divine will.